Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome into the house this morning of the Lord as we start the Advent season. Welcome into Long Meadow Church of the Brethren, and may we be blessed to be here for the sermon titled, Pay Attention. Our scripture lesson today comes from Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 5 through 25. And while you're looking that up, bear in mind we're going to go in a new direction today. But a young boy, was visiting with his grandparents and was wandering around in the library and saw his grandfather's favorite old Bible. And so he wanted to see what it was so special about it, and he pulled it out. And while he was thumbing through it, he suddenly started hollering, "Grandma! Grandma! Grandma! Grandma!" And she was in the kitchen getting supper ready when she raced to the room to see what was going on and found the little boy trembling. He said, "Grandma, I was going through Pap's Bible, and I think I found something very important." And she said, "Well, whatever in the world is that?" He said, "Look, I think I found Adam's underwear." Pay attention. Unknown to Custer, the Native Americans that he had seen on his trail that day were actually leaving the encampment, and they did not alert the village that they were headed out. Now, he had been warned repeatedly that his 210 men were no match, no size whatsoever for what lay in front of them. Multiple scouts had been out looking. Mitch Boyer reportedly said, "General, I have seen these Indians for 30 years, and this is the largest village I have ever heard of." But George's concern was that the group would break up and scatter, and he wouldn't be able to complete his mission, and quite frankly, he wouldn't be able to be bound for the glory that he had missed when he was at Gettysburg. He decided, even after the scouts had told him, even after they had watched from Crow's Nest, a hill overlooking that valley at the river of Little Bighorn, and had seen the encampment, by the time he got there the next day, all he saw was a bunch of ponies, and he turned to them and he said, "I don't think you see what you're seeing." But the scouts continued to tell him, "Sir, we are facing insurmountable odds. You need to pay attention to what we're seeing." He didn't listen. With an impending sense of doom, the Crow scout, Half Yellow Face, prophetically warned Custer, now speaking through the interpreter, Mitch Boyer, "You and I are going home today by a road we do not know." He asked the interpreter for his opinion of the size of the estimated force that the 210 cavalry members were about to face, and was told it's estimated at over 1,200 Indian warriors and another 3,000 Indian encampment. To which Custer replied, "But we have the advantage." It is noteworthy to pinpoint that John Martin was temporarily assigned to serve as one of Custer's bugler orderlies. As Custer and his 210 troopers and scouts began to approach the massive Indian village, he was dispatched to go forward and find reinforcements as they approached. When he realized he might lose the advantage, Custer asked for the final report and was told, "They are following the trail that you have left behind, the supplies that you have been dropping. They are preparing to come against you. Go a different direction. Pay attention." To which he replied, "We still have the superior advantage. We are trained, we are formal, we are formidable." Reports from his scouts also revealed that there were new pony tracks, fresh pony tracks, coming around behind them and starting to open up a flank. 210, verses 1200. And as they rode into that valley, just to one side of the river of Little Bighorn, which they could not cross, the Indians had set up camp around them. And when they started to attack, on that day, June 26, 1876, circled and cut off, 210 men were taken away. Pay attention. Custer needed to pay attention. I have often stated that on and off through my life, I have suffered greatly from whatever those letters are, A-D, double Z-Q, what is A-D? See, I can't even say it. A-D-H-D, is that it?
Yeah.
Adult dummy disorder? There was a comedian that one time said, when he was a kid, he was about 10 years old, and he said, I suffered from ADD for about 30 seconds once when I was a kid. I was sitting there listening to my dad tell me something, and I went, oh, look, something shiny. And suddenly my father said, are you paying attention? Yes, sir. That was the end of my ADD. I have an inability to pay attention a lot when I'm supposed to. It has plagued me all my life because I am tricked by anything shiny. And if you don't think it's bad, my wife will take me shopping with her, and she will take me to Kohl's department store. Now, we're going in Kohl's to get her something. And suddenly I will hear her voice, where are you at? And I'm overlooking at all the shiny stuff in the appliance arena. Hey, look, it's a juicer. We need this juicer. And we need this. Even when I have known I need to pay attention, I fail. We Christians also need to do the exact same thing. More often than not, we need to pay attention to the things around us. Now, this may have started months and months ago, but we're here and we're now. In the time of Herod the king of Judea, Luke chapter 1, verse 5, there was a priest named Zechariah. He belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. They had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as a priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. When the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to name him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years. The angel answered, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until this day happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple. For he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. And after his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months remained in seclusion, "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favor, taken away my disgrace among the people." May God add his blessings to these passages as we seek him in prayer. Please pray with me. Father, let this message lift us up and set us on the Advent course. Let us pay attention and listen to your words today. Let us use them to strengthen us for the week to come. Let us use them to proclaim the Lord's birth as the reason for what we celebrate. We thank you, Lord, for so many things. And we pray that you will fill us as we listen to these words. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of his children said, Amen. I can only imagine. I can only begin to imagine. I've told you guys before, and I mean it. Somewhere in heaven, I am sure, there is a giant 150 square inch television screen with a Selectomatic at the bottom of it. And when I get done being told, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Paul, we wondered about you for a little while. We really weren't sure where it was going to go. You pulled it out at the end. You made it in. Congratulations. Good to see you." And I see everybody. "Where's that room at?" And I'm going to go there and I'm going to stand in front of the Selectomatic. It might even be where I just think it and it appears. And there are so many scenes I want to watch, and this is one of them. Because I can only imagine what must have been going on. You have to understand why this is written, why Luke wrote this part, why he endeavored to put this in there. Because John announces Jesus twice. John prepares the way. John shows that through his mother, through his father, there is nothing impossible with God. He got to choose to be there because God allowed him to be. It was his turn. They were barren. They were up there in years. I don't know how old they were, but I know that they was, well, I'm not going to offend anybody in this church by trying to say they was too old for children, because we have a lot of well-seasoned, lovely congregants here. Did I get out of trouble? They was along in years. They had no kid. And that was a disgrace in a Jewish community. A Jewish woman that couldn't bear. A Jewish father that couldn't do it. A Jewish man that couldn't make a child. It was considered horrible. Having a daughter was a blessing, but you had to have a son. You had to have a son to carry on. We've talked about that. When Wendy and I got married, and she decided we were going to have children, because I didn't make that decision. She said, "Let's have kids." And I went, "No." And she went, "Yes." And I said, "Okay." When she came to me in June or July or whatever it was and handed me a Father's Day card, I thought she had lost her mind. But now we're going to have children. And I went around saying, "Must have son. Carry on tradition. Must have sons that are big and proud. You've met my sons. Can you imagine how proud I am?" But it was important. And he kept the laws. The Bible records it blamelessly. And God, watching all this, said, "Okay, let's do this." They cast a lot. That means called bingo numbers. I-49, bingo, Zechariah, you're in. But everything was according to God's plan. And while he was in there, burning the incense, which purified the temple, the angel came down and said, "We've been watching. We have a job for you. Because you have not had a child, you and your wife are going to. Pay attention to what I'm telling you. And so what did Zechariah do? He stepped away from his faith for a moment and became ultimately human and said the two most famous words that a human can say when they're being told something that's true and going to happen. Yeah, but how can that be? I mean, seriously, we're however old we are. We haven't had anything. I mean, seriously. Gabriel, in essence, told him, pay attention. I am Gabriel and have been sent with this message. And because of this, because you cannot pay attention, because you have decided to challenge me, because you are Zechariah, blameless, you've kept all the commandments, you've done everything you're supposed to, and now that I am here to reward you, you question me, you are not going to say another word until that child is born. And you will name him John. And he went silent. He came out realizing what was going on. We know the rest of the story. All the pomp and circumstance, everything that surrounded him, he is now struck dumb. But what he doesn't realize is there's so much more to that story. When Mary arrives to visit Elizabeth while she's in seclusion, John the baby hears it and leaps because he knows what's coming. I like to wonder if it was part of God's design for Zechariah not to pay attention. And if it was, then I have been following the precepts that God has laid out for me since I was old enough to walk and talk. And that is to not pay attention so that I can learn great things. Sometimes I've had to learn great things while my father held this side of my belt and used this side of his hand to make sure my pants were clean. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes I've had to learn a lot of hard lessons, which 16 years ago brought me here. It is the very nature of who we are, and it is the very nature of what we have in front of us that we are commanded, we are instructed, we are set forth to pay attention in a world that is moving miles and miles an hour faster every second of every day. Chuck Swindoll, one of my favorite preachers, once found himself with too many commitments. He didn't have enough days and he was nervous and tense and he was snapping at his wife and children. He said he was choking down food at mealtimes and becoming mad and irritated, especially when he was interrupted trying to write books and answer emails and answer cards and letters and write these sermons. He recalls this in his book, Stress Fractures. Before long, things around our home were reflecting the pattern of my hurry-up lifestyle. It had become unbearable. And I distinctly remember after supper one evening, the words of our youngest daughter, Colleen. She wanted to tell me something important that had happened to her at school that day. And she began hurriedly, Daddy, I want to tell you something, and I'll tell you really, really fast. Suddenly realizing her frustration, I said, Honey, you can tell me, and you don't have to say it really fast. Say it slowly. And she stopped and walked up and put my face in both of her hands and said, Then, Daddy, listen slowly. Oh. Pay attention. Now, this world is getting faster and faster. Almost everybody in this room, and I imagine everybody in this room, has one of them little pocket devices called a cell phone. Yeah. I remember when they first came out. They were in a bag about this big. They weighed 14 tons. You had to carry a crane along to lift the thing up. And if you picked up that phone and dialed a number, you had better be standing in front of the President of the United States ready to save his life, because they were going to charge you $1,000 a minute to be on that phone. And if you were and your father got that bill, let me tell you, you would be paying attention. The world goes faster, and we want it to go faster, faster. And as I was writing this sermon, it struck me, I am a victim of my own inability, even of myself, to not pay attention. Now, there is a certain convenience store in the tri-state area that I shall not name because I'm not allowed to do advertisement or anything like that, but its name rhymes with feats Or you might be going there to get a schmuffin. And they have this new thing. They have an app on the phone that I can order food. And I'm pretty sure that that app was designed by Satan himself. But that's a sermon for another day. I have become enamored with stopping in at this place that I cannot name and getting a coffee on the way to church in the morning, because it's kind of fun, it's kind of different. It'll run its course and I'll get bored with it and I'll move on to something else. My ADD will kick in. But this morning, I hit my order app. Boop. I set up the timer on it so that when I was 5 minutes out, it would order that coffee. When I pulled in and 5 minutes later, it'd be handed out the window, $3.07, fast, quick, and in a hurry, like, bing, 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 and I'd be happy. When I pulled up to the drive-thru, because we have to go, we have to get here so I can write the sermon, so I can visit with everybody and get everything done and get up here and preach, we pulled in and there were two vehicles in front of us, and I think that they were using a hammer and chisel to order their food. And I sat in the truck. And I told Wendy, I said, you know, there's ways we can do this faster. McDonald's could take a lesson from this. And these people up there in front, if they would just use this app, we could get through there faster. They're messing up my 2-minute turnaround to go in and get my coffee and get back out on the... Oh, yeah. I need to pay attention, don't I? I need to slow down. The world moves faster and faster, and it is our job to slow down and listen to what is being told us. We lit this first candle this morning. First Sunday of Advent. And immediately everybody's mind was like, man, I only got 30 days to go get Pastor Paul the perfect Christmas gift. Yeah. The first thought in so many minds when they hear that Thanksgiving's over, when they watch that parade and it ends, is, I have got to get out and go shopping. But the first thought should be, soon we're going to celebrate our Savior. I know you still have your Bibles open, because you wouldn't dare close them when I'm up here preaching. I know it. In verse 57, when it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the 8th day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zachariah. But his mother spoke up and said, no, he is to be called John. They are now paying attention. They said to her, there is no one among your relatives who has that name. Then they made signs to the father to find out what he would like to name the child. And he asked for a writing tablet. And to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, his name is John. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed and he began to speak, praising God. The neighbors were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, who then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers, to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies, and to enable us to serve him without fear and holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord and prepare a way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and lived in the desert until he publicly appeared to Israel. Pay attention. We look down just a short footpath to where once again we will celebrate our salvation. There's a great deal of us out there who are struggling. There's a great deal of us out there who are surrounded, and we need to be saved. We need to stand with certainty. A man with one watch knows what time it is. A man with two watches is never sure. We need to slow down and pay attention. The final draft of the Emancipation Proclamation was taken to Abraham Lincoln at noon on January 1, 1863. Twice the president picked up his pen to sign it, and twice he laid it down. Turning to Secretary of State William Seward, he said, "I have been shaking hands since 9 this morning, and my right arm is paralyzed. If my name ever goes into history, it will be for this act, and my whole soul is in it. If my hand trembles when I sign the proclamation, all who examine the document hereafter will say he hesitated." Then the president took up his pen again and slowly but firmly wrote Abraham Lincoln. Pay attention to that document the next time you look at it. This historic act endeared Lincoln to the world as the great emancipator. We now know that this story of John, Zachariah, and Elizabeth today remind us of faith, but they remind us to pay attention. They remind us that what we say, what we do, how we act is viewed not just by the world, but by God. Let us be in praise. Let us sing the hymns. Let us say going forward, Merry Christmas. Peace to earth and on earth goodwill to men, and mean it. Let us say that this day our Savior has been born. Pay attention, world. Your salvation is here. And so to you this week, to you this Sunday, I say, Merry Christmas and peace to you all. Our salvation has arrived. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for these memories. We thank you for this thought. We thank you for everything, Father, that comes with it. Remind us to pay attention to everything around us, to the need of those who have need of a food or a blanket, to those who have need of a kind word or a card or a phone call, to those who have need that are lost. Let us pay attention to them and talk about this salvation. And let us be reminded that as great a miracle as it was for Zachariah and Elizabeth to have John, the greatest miracle is yet coming. And the miracle from that is we are saved from our sins forever by just believing in what Jesus brought, what Jesus gave, and who Jesus is. May we be blessed and strengthened this day, Father. In Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. And we pay attention. Amen.